I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to the Relentless Pursuit Podcast. Today, we're talking all about hobbies and side hustles. Nowadays, you kind of hear people talking about hustles or side hustles, and it feels like everybody has one, but you really don't hear people talking about hobbies anymore. And so I did a little research about hobbies, and they're supposed to actually be really healthy, really good for you, a really great form of self-care. So if they're so good for us, why don't we have them? So let's talk a little bit about the difference between a hobby and a side hustle and kind of how they're related, and kind of just dig into that topic today.
Yeah, I think it's a very traditional topic, like looking at hobbies, and it might have once been a more common question, like what are your hobbies? But I do feel like that's faded away and maybe something we need to rekindle with ourselves and just with our generation.
Yeah, I mean, they say that millennials don't see work like past generations do. And so millennials being, I think they like outline millennials as, or define them as, anyone born like after 1980, 1982. So we kind of fit into the millennial category.
Yeah, we're like older millennials.
Older millennials. So we're better than some other millennials. We had dial-up internet, so that's really the only difference, probably. But like this notion of work, especially like for our parents' generation and even like people a little bit older than us, work was like a place. It was a place that you went to work and then you left work and you had this life. But now our generation, work is not a place. Work is a thing. Mm-hmm. It's like a mentality. It comes home with you. It's like part of who you are. You're proud of it, but it's like a bigger part of your identity, where it used to be that you like kind of left work at work and then had home at home, or had these hobbies or interests or other things that you did that kind of defined you outside of that. And like you were saying, it's like, yeah, do we have hobbies and interests anymore? Or are we letting work kind of encompass us in a greater way that doesn't allow for these hobbies?
Right. And I don't think it's, well, the way you defined work was helpful because it is a thing, it is an attitude, and it can happen anytime, anywhere, which in some ways can be a plus, but really changes our mentality towards other things as well. And so I think part of it is thinking like, well, if I could work anytime, anywhere, and, you know, I think our generation has this preoccupation with productivity and some sort of material outcome that has like some degree of value. And I think because we're preoccupied with that, then things that are simply enjoyable for their own sake take a backseat.
I think you're right. Like, we feel like if we're going to put some time and effort into something, we need to get something out of it past just like this intrinsic joy, right? Like that we put in and then we get out this many dollars worth, right? That there's some kind of an exchange there instead of enjoying something for the sake of it.
Yeah.
So before we continue this conversation and kind of get deeper into it and do some Q&As back and forth, would it be helpful to define?
You always got to start with a definition.
Got to start with a definition. You want to start or you want me to?
I want you to, because I thought a lot about this, except you wrote it down. So I think you're better prepared.
All right. My notes say, a hobby is an activity done regularly in your leisure time for pleasure, which kind of blew my mind when I read that, because it's like, okay, there are like multiple things there. So something that you do. Mm-hmm. And you don't just do it like once a year, right? Like it's regularly. It's
not, so something, some consistency towards it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So like you're constantly, you know, going after it, doing it in your leisure time, and it is for pleasure. So it's not for any kind of gain. It's just to enjoy. I was looking at some of the attributes of that, and it says, well, how do you know if something's a good hobby? Mm-hmm. And they said, hobbies should be fun. If you feel energized and excited and want to do more of it, then it's a good fit. The best kinds of hobbies challenge you to grow. Research suggests that hobbies boost your mood, help you feel satisfied, and decrease stress. It's a form of self-care.
Yeah. So there's a lot of benefits from that. And I was reading about that too. People with hobbies tend to sleep better. They tend to feel better about themselves and about life. I also read that they tend to be more successful and productive at work. So that was from an article in the New York Times. And it also said, don't don't start a hobby so that you can become more successful or productive at work. The whole point is really like detaching from that and pursuing something that you have has intrinsic value for you.
So it's like that release where it's, yeah, you're not looking to gain something out of it. It's like your body needs that enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Right. Like just like you would like water a plant and give it sunshine, like a hobby kind of does that for us where it like helps us to bloom mm-hmm. where we're planted. And we can get things out of it without actually like getting something out of it, like that's concrete or evident.
Yeah. And I think that's important to distinguish it from an interest, or I think you wrote down a pastime, because there, I think there's certainly things that, that interest us, but a hobby implies some degree of engagement. I would even say like physical and mental engagement in the task rather than a more passive reception of something.
Okay. So when you say active, like I think of something like, I mean, maybe these are lame, but like gardening, cooking, painting, hiking, like things that you do, you like you're moving, you're interacting, like you're kind of like going out in search of it. Mm-hmm. Instead of that passive, which you mentioned pastime, which I have a definition for that.
Oh, okay.
Things that just help you pass the time.
Just to pass the time.
Yeah.
So you're not really using the time. You're just filling it with something of no value.
Yeah. So like in my mind, like just letting the time pass, filling it with something with no value, Netflix, mm-hmm. Scrolling and swiping on your phone, right? Like those, like we pass the time with those things, but those are not hobbies. Those are not interests. Yes. Those are like time wasters.
Like watching, yeah. So like binging on a television series is not a hobby.
No. Mm-hmm. Nor an interest. It's just something you do to pass the time.
Right. Wasn't baseball, didn't that used to be America's
pastime?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't play it, right, you just sat and watched it.
Right.
You watched it to pass the time. It's mm-hmm. not like you were like in a guy's, you know, baseball or softball league or something. You weren't. Mm-hmm. So America's pastime, people watched it to pass the time.
Yeah. And then, but I think that was surpassed by Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, you're right. That is the tagline. America's pastime?
Is that what they say?
I don't know. Now I've got to turn on the wheel later and find out.
Right. But yeah, so I think that's important to distinguish because we're either hyper productive or when there's like this swing and we turn that off and turn it to, I don't know, is there a term like hyper non-productive? like the opposite where we really become like just such passive recipients of entertainment that there's no in between. And a hobby seems like it's in between where it is productive, it is engaging, but the value is in what we get out of it and not necessarily what, you know, doesn't necessarily have monetary value.
Okay. So then let's define hustle. To kind of throw that in with hobby, interest, pastime. A hustle is a means of making money alongside one's main form of employment or income. And so there are plenty of reasons why people have a hustle. Maybe the job that they have it's a job and it's not a career. And so then they find something that they can do to kind of generate some income on the side. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people who start some kind of hustle or side hustle do that because they need the money, but it's usually in like a different realm where they have a little bit more interest if mm-hmm. they don't have a job that they love in an area that they're, you know, skilled at.
Yeah. Well, I'd say a hustle is different than a side hustle because you can hustle in your job. You know, if you're trying to climb the ladder or earn that kind of income that you want or get that title, you can hustle towards that. And then the side hustle would be like a second job almost that you're trying to develop for yourself.
Well, I think people use like hustle, side hustle interchangeably. It's like this thing that you do on the side to make some extra money. I think that's the point of it.
No, but what I'm saying is that they're not interchangeable. Like you can hustle towards your regular career too.
Okay. Okay. Agreed, I guess.
Well, I mean, the reason why I bring that up is because there's, I think, this fixation on doing things that are of value in the marketplace. And so whether it's a hustle or a side hustle, you know, whether it's your full-time job or your part-time, it is, you know, trying to quantify our talent or our skills towards, you know, to someone else. Whereas a hobby takes that out of the equation and we can still hustle after a hobby in a sense, but we're not worried about trying to appease someone else through it or have the market recognize our efforts.
Okay. So should we dive into some questions?
Yeah, I have this might be my longest list of questions here.
Oh, there's quite a few bullet points.
Yeah, there's a lot to explore with this because, like you said, it's a fantastic form of self-care. Having hobbies is something that has been so essential to so many generations, and it's kind of evaporating from our discourse right now.
Okay, so let's bring it back. Maybe Relentless Pursuit Season 2 is going to help us all bring back a little self-care in the form of some hobbies.
I hope so.
All right, I'll start. Here's my first question. Do we have hobbies anymore?
Who's we? Me and you?
Sure, let's start with us. What's your hobby?
Well, I would say yes, you and I do have hobbies. I'm a little bit more artsy. So I know you hear me play the piano that's right over there. And so just about every day I'm playing that until the kids clamber on my lap and like interrupt or start pounding on the keys. But that's something that I've done ever since I was a kid. And I don't really, every once in a while, I'll like post a clip of me playing something or the kids dancing to something I play, but it is really like just for me. And I spent almost like 2 years on just like one song because I'm not that good at playing.
Well, let's not say you're not that good,
but your definition and my definition would vary in terms of what a good piano player would entail. But it took me, I'd say like 2 years of like coming home from work and almost like 10 to 20 minutes a day, like to master this one song that I had done. And I really enjoyed that. And I never performed it for anyone. And I don't care. I just enjoy doing that. And now I'm doing the same thing with something else that I've been working on, like just for the last few months too, in the practice of the day. And I find that very fulfilling. Something else that I do, and you don't see this as much, but you have seen this, is I have almost like these Shel Silverstein-esque like children's poems that I just crack myself up with, and I write them down, and you know, once in a while I read them to the kids. And so, you know, at some point maybe that is something I'd be interested in sharing if any of them were any good. But that's just something I'll enjoy, like taking some time to do during my downtime.
Yeah, well, those are two things that are hobbies, right? That they kind of refresh you. Right? They're like good for your soul. There's something that you want to do. Like no one else even really knows that you do them, but you do them with some sort of consistency. Mm-hmm. You look forward to them and you derive some joy from them. Mm-hmm. That's good.
How about you?
I would definitely think that like cooking and baking are hobbies of mine. You know that I love to cook. We take mealtime around here very seriously. You know, the only thing that's upsetting around mealtimes is that, and I will say this, like I'm a good cook.
Oh yeah.
And our kids do not appreciate it.
No. But I tell them, you don't know how good you have it.
But like, you know, we'll decide on something for dinner. And then, you know, like I'll have a lull in my day. I'm like, you know what this dinner needs? It needs some focaccia. Okay, I'm going to make some focaccia. So like I really enjoy cooking. I really enjoy baking.
Mm-hmm. And hosting. When people come and get to enjoy that too.
And hosting. And I think I've always liked to do that. When we do have people over, I'm very intentional about like knowing what they like. And then like even setting a table in a way in which like makes them feel like warm and inviting. And when they ask, can I bring something? I always say no, because I want them to come here and like to feel loved and to like give them my best. Mm-hmm. And that's why people like coming here. And so I would say that's a hobby of mine. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like that entertaining and like really planning something out like that and cooking for people and, mm-hmm. and using my hands in that way.
Yeah. So could you... See, like I'm contrasting ours a little bit because I feel like what I'm doing, people will hear, or like you have to hear the piano. There's no avoiding it, but I'm not really performing for anyone. But when you're cooking, like you almost need someone else to eat it, right? You ever just make something just to make it and you don't care who eats it?
Yeah. I mean, how many times do I, like, when I cook, I'm not really cooking for myself. I'm cooking for other people. But there are times I've cooked or baked something and not touched it because it's not something that I want and we'll give it to other people. But I don't do it with like the need for people to like recognize it either. Mm-hmm. So it's just something that I like to do. So mm-hmm. if you're a friend of mine or a family member, you probably get to enjoy
Many
it.
Many fortunate recipients, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hear that that's very common, especially in 2020 when people have just like developed new hobbies or new interests, then like food is one that we all just need to eat. And you know, some people have really enjoyed not just sustaining themselves, but like really like taking that on as an interest that they've developed into a skill.
Yeah. I'm artsy, but in a different way than you. So I think I take a lot of pleasure in like decorating and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's not for really anybody else but myself, but I enjoy that kind of thing. You can look at an empty wall forever or an empty room or we don't need any, but I like to like look at a room and see what it needs and like give it a feel.
I love the
and
empty space.
I know you do. I know you do.
But I don't mind the decor either.
Okay, so we've identified a couple hobbies that we have, things mm-hmm. that we do consistently. There are other things that we do and we like to do that we could name, but those are just a few. But do you think, like the average person, are hobbies a thing of the past? Do you think a lot of people have hobbies?
According to research, hobbies are definitely on the decline. And that is, that kind of goes along with this other question that I had too. And we started talking about why is that? Why do we seem to have this mentality that hobbies are not valuable or we don't have the time or space to be able to implement them in our lives?
Okay. So here's a question I have.
Okay.
Is exercise a hobby?
I did read that, yes, it qualifies as a hobby.
But should that be your only hobby or your only form of self-care?
It could be.
Okay. Okay.
Right? I mean, it checks all the boxes.
I know, but like the only reason I'm struggling with this a little bit is it's almost like, right, like you eat and you sleep a certain way to be healthy. You have to exercise to be healthy. So it's like sleeping, right, a hobby?
For some people, they might.
But you know what I mean?
Like, that position.
If you're kind of focused on your health and your wellness, like exercise is a key component to that. So is doing something that takes care of you physically, is that technically a hobby? Or would a hobby be like, you know, you're in shape, so you hike for enjoyment? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. is hitting the gym or lifting weights or like is running, is it a hobby? Or is that like just a form of good self-care necessity?
Well, I think this is going back to the definition. Yeah, because there's a lot of fine lines. But I think a hobby is at an intersection where there's interest and passion, and then that those intersect to lead us towards something that is spiritually fulfilling.
Okay.
Whereas a hustle would be similar in that it's where you have like an interest and a passion, but that takes you towards something that is monetarily or, you know, fulfilling in the marketplace. So it's different. So that's why I would say exercise could potentially be a hobby if you take an interest in it, you're doing it consistently, and it fulfills you.
You're not like reluctantly exercising, like because, right. Okay, so it's something that you enjoy.
Right. Okay. It's something that you invest time in, you invest your knowledge in, you're engaged in, and anything that fits that criteria could be a hobby as well.
So then would you define exercise for you as a hobby?
I never thought of it that way for myself. Okay. No. For me, it's rather begrudging. I've been more consistent this year than I have in the past with working out, but I would not miss it if it were not a necessity.
All right, shoot. You haven't really asked many questions. I've asked a couple now. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
Can a hobby be done for money?
No, then it totally moves to a hustle.
Well, that's what I wanted to explore was like, let's say you had just something that you do for fun on your own, and then somebody offered you money for doing that same thing.
So, well, I mean, that has happened to me.
Nothing about what you're doing changes except that now someone has given it a dollar value. Well, does that completely change what it is, or can it still be a hobby and still have a dollar amount on it?
I don't think so. I think once whatever that hobby or that interest or that talent that you have moves into an exchange for money, it now becomes work. And it's not just like something you do and then it's just like something you have.
Well, it becomes a commodity then.
Correct. You're trading your time for money. You're not just doing it for the joy of it. And then, you know, whenever you want. Now it's you know, moves into that workplace. One of the things I read basically said like, it's okay to do something for money, but then you need to pick, you know, another hobby or another interest so that you have that form of self-care. Mm-hmm. That it moves beyond just doing it for an exchange, but then you have something else that you then replace it with, mm-hmm. right? Like I used to like design things graphically mm-hmm. and I did it for fun. And then I turned it into kind of a side hustle. I was selling stuff on Etsy. And once I was doing it so consistently and for so many clients and customers, whether it was people I knew or, you know, people online, it also took away some of the enjoyment of it because it was, you know, doing what they wanted, how they wanted it, like very specifically. And it took the joy out of it and it did turn it into work. And then I found something else to kind of replace that. So like I could still do that, but I needed another outlet to kind of like mm-hmm. have a release.
So then the work really becomes for someone else.
Yeah, the work is not for you, mm-hmm. for the betterment of yourself or mm-hmm. for how it makes you feel.
Yeah. Is this mind-blowing like for our generation to think that something other than money can be fulfilling, right? I mean, but think about it this way. Something other than money will be more fulfilling for you than something that has monetary value.
Well, you had a side hustle for a while.
Yeah.
You wrote on the side and mm-hmm. you got paid very well to do it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped us like financially for a while. I mean, we had like a growing family.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, it was great money. And then one day you looked at me and said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And I kind of looked at you and was like, excuse me, what are we going to do without that extra money? You're like, well, I mean, it's not like we need the money, but yeah. I feel like it used to gratify me. It used to fulfill me. It used to be fun. I don't feel like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we had that conversation and I was like, okay, well. Mm-hmm. Then I guess you don't have to do it anymore. You know, obviously, if you need the money to eat food, I mean, you need that exchange. But if it's something on the side that you don't have to be paid for and it's not giving you joy, you shouldn't have to do it.
Yeah. So that's interesting how adding money as a factor will modify the way that we feel about and like perceive the activities that we're doing.
Well, and then sometimes we carry on doing things that we don't want because we're so tied to money. Mm-hmm. And then there's that correlation of money and happiness. Like money can't always buy happiness, mm-hmm. right? If you have extra time to do what you want and that makes you happy.
Right. Well, how many times have we thought like, if only we can like take X, like, you know, whatever we're good at or whatever we've produced and figure out a way to get paid for doing that. Would we, you know, in our minds, we think that that would make us happier, but that's really not the case, probably in many of those instances. And we're taught growing up, like, follow your passion, follow your heart, or what's the phrase? If you do what you love for a job, then you'll never work a day in your life, right? We were born and raised into that kind of mentality where, like, passion should be work. But I think it's good to separate them, pull them apart a little bit too, and think like, well, work like leads to the marketplace and it leads to money, which we ascribe some degree of value. And it's nice to be able to hold that up to other people. Not that we're like sharing dollar amounts or anything, but to say like, look at all the stuff that I can buy with what I earned from my hustle. Whereas maybe there's more value in having this hobby that is internally fulfilling, and whether that's on display or not, just like allowing that to fuel us in a way that money or like other commodities can't.
Well, and that then reminds me of, you know, that other phrase where it's like work hard, play hard. Yeah. When you're at work, work hard, right? Earn money, you know, be able to support your family, buy the things that you need, the things that you want, the things that you wish for, but then play hard, like take a break because those things refresh us. And like you had said, it kind of makes us better when we're at work, mm-hmm. makes us better when we're at home because we've got time to kind of release and let go. Mm-hmm. More questions?
Yeah. You want me to keep them coming?
Yeah.
Okay. So my next question then is, why do you think we gravitate more easily towards our screens? Like you mentioned Netflix or like to our social media, towards these very like passive, fill in the gap kinds of engagements rather than towards hobbies.
I wonder if it has something to do with like even just not knowing what we want our hobbies to be. Like you have to really intentionally, like if you don't have a hobby, right? And you basically work a lot. And you're at work, and maybe it's even harder. You have a family, you have a wife, like you have other commitments, right? Like, how do you find time to fit those hobbies in? But you have to like intentionally like sit down and like figure out, okay, like what do I want to try? Mm-hmm. And then you have to like go out and try. Mm-hmm. And you might have to try on a bunch of different hobbies before you find like the right one or the one that fits. So even just intentionally thinking about it, trying a bunch of different ones, find what fits, like that's a process. And in a generation where we lack time and we lack space – And for some of us, we lack the money to like, right? Like people like to golf as a leisure activity. Like those things are expensive. And so I think maybe sometimes that keeps people from finding something that they might like. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole lot easier to default to a Netflix or social media, or especially when those devices and those programs are meant to like pull you in.
They're already so attention grabbing. Yeah. And you almost wonder what came first. Did our just attention to screens just like come first and arise and kind of block out the time that we might have otherwise given to hobbies? Or are they filling in the gaps for the hobbies that we've given up?
You know, I think they fill in the gaps. It's easy to grab. Easy to grab a screen, easy to turn something on, easy to grab, you know, a phone. I think they fill in those gaps. And I think for us, and by us, I mean everybody, is we need to just move those, like those little gaps that we find during the day into like bigger chunks so that we can enjoy something external.
Yeah. And that can be difficult. And there is almost like this set of prerequisites to get into a hobby. I guess it depends what the hobby is, but you know, if there's a financial commitment to purchase what, you know, whatever materials are implicit with that. If you're bird watching, you need the binoculars. If you're painting, you need the canvas.
Look it up.
Yeah. So, right. And of course you need the time as well. And I feel like that might be even more so like where our generation is just a little bit faulty with, is feeling like we don't have time when we have so many conveniences and tools at our disposal, and they've only resulted in making us more busy. So when we finally do have an opportunity to engage with something without distraction, it's at the end of what has been like a long day, and the requisite energy that you need to engage in a hobby meaningfully just isn't there. So it's easier just to turn something on, watch it, or you know, do something else that's rather passive or absent-minded, and then move on.
Is it what we don't have, whether it's time or money, or is it what we do have, which is an excuse?
Oh.
Well, but I think about that, like, all right, so I think of my dad, who's been retired for a few years now, and I think of some of the hobbies he's picked up along the way. You know, gardening, he's gotten back to like making homemade wine, you know, which requires time and effort, but it also requires money. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten into walking, and even jogging, you know, things that I never thought he would pick up because now he has the time. But he's always so impressed with our kids who all take piano lessons. And Juliet has just started this year. So she was 5 when she started. Now she's 6, and has only had what, a dozen or less lessons, but she can play songs. And anytime each of the kids has picked up the piano, he's like, wow, that's so, like, how do they just learn it? And that, you know, it like kind of blows his mind a little bit. And we've even said, well, Dad, if you wanted to play the piano, you could play. All you have to do is start taking some lessons. He's like, oh, I could never do that. Because it's, you know, you kind of talk yourself out of it when you're nervous about trying something that's out of your comfort zone. That's totally something out of his comfort zone. So it's not that he doesn't have the time or he doesn't have the money to pay for lessons. It's that he has an excuse as to why he can't do it.
So sometimes we give ourselves these invisible barriers for why we can't be more invested in something that might actually interest us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't fish because I don't live in an area where I can, you know, go fishing very easily.
Right.
Sure you can. It might not be a lake, but, you know, you can go to the forest preserve and fish over here, or, you know, to the, like, the little local watering hole. So, like, what are the excuses we're making? Mm-hmm. Are we letting those keep us from having hobbies?
Yeah. So you're essentially saying, like, to someone who would say, well, I would have a hobby, but I'm too busy. You're essentially saying, like, no, you're not too busy. You just haven't prioritized it.
Yeah, I think I would say that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a dog now, a puppy who needs to be walked. And you and I, several nights a week, take turns on who goes and takes the dog for a walk in the dark and in the cold. Mm-hmm. Not like my first idea, but sometimes you're like, were you going to take the dog tonight? Or, you know, I don't mind going, because it's like a chance to just be alone, and we walk with the dog and it's quiet and we can kind of like just think and, right? Like walking is kind of becoming a hobby for us.
I don't know. I think that's a stretch.
It. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Is walking a hobby? Exercise can be, but
yeah,
I don't
know walking
about
walking is. I think it is. Yeah. Detaching from everything else, having some quiet, some solitude, right? Like a time to enjoy and reflect. I think it's a hobby.
All right. Well, we'll let you listeners decide if walking qualifies as a hobby or not. Let us know in the comments. All right. So I have two kind of related questions to kind of drive this conversation from a slightly different angle. As a spouse and as a parent, as a spouse, how could we make space for one another to pursue hobbies? And as a parent, what should we be doing? If we think, if we're saying hobbies are available, what should we be doing as a parent to foster that with our kids?
All right, let's start with the parent thing first, because we haven't talked about our kids in a bit, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's just giving them the opportunity to try different things. So we always let our kids choose a sport in each of the seasons, you mm-hmm. know, whatever they're into or up to, or if someone wants to do gymnastics or dance, piano, they want to learn a different instrument. We kind of like let them get their feet wet in all of those areas. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're a magnificent athlete or a dancer or whatever it is, but at least they get to try it and decide if they like something. And so I think mm-hmm. exposure to a variety of things, you know, whether it's chess club or cooking class or whatever it is, it just lets them kind of find what makes them happy.
So almost saying like, okay, as the parent, I'm going to make you do something. Here's your options for what those somethings can be. So it's a little bit of that balance where they're given the opportunity and they have some degree of choice.
But as parents, we know our kids sometimes better than they know themselves. Sometimes pushing them to try things that they might not ordinarily choose may be beneficial for them to kind of like push past those excuses or those invisible barriers as well. Mm-hmm. What was the second part of your question?
The spouse question.
So the spouse question.
Because that's a big piece of our show is like talking about just being supportive in, you know, or being supported by all of your relationships. So, you know, at home, obviously with our families, it does appropriately so, like take a lot of time and energy to be a good spouse and to be a good parent. So how can we work together to make space for one another to pursue something that we independently enjoy?
But I feel like you just answered the question is that we have to make space for each other to have the space to enjoy what we like.
And so you just do it is your answer.
Well, yeah.
How do we make space for you? Right. Just do it.
What do we say? Like the questions, what was the title of the episode in season one? The questions that we
asked. Six most important questions we asked ourselves.
The six most important.
Episode three, yes. Season one, everyone. Great episode.
Thank you. Thank you for that reference. Where we talk about what is it that you need?
Yeah.
How can I support you in what you want? And I think it just that comes from a place of valuing and honoring your spouse and wanting them to be the best person they can be. And sometimes for you to be the best person you can be, you need to have time at work to help provide for the family, but you also need a release, right? You need to be here and be the dad and be the soccer coach when you need to be the soccer coach. But I should encourage you to take time and give you the opportunity to get out to do the things that kind of set your soul on fire.
It's a strong way of putting it, but I don't disagree. So you can. So one of the things we can do is just be like, "Hey, like I noticed you haven't done that thing that you like to do."
Yes, underwater basket weaving.
Yeah, or you know, you didn't join the softball team with the guys this year. You haven't had poker night in a while, or whatever that may be. Like, why don't you do that? So almost like suggesting, giving them permission to engage in that.
I like that, giving that permission. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we talk ourselves out of it, but then when a spouse like says, "Hey, like I'm on board to support you with this," like why don't you go after it? It's a good reminder that we are loved, we are supported, and we can take the time to do those things. Mm-hmm. Good questions.
All right. What are your takeaways?
All right. Takeaways. I think the biggest one is that life should contain moments where we can work and achieve. Like that's one area that we can rest because it's important, but then areas for us to play and have fun. Mm-hmm. So I think there's like kind of those three aspects of it where sometimes we just
achieve,
like
achieve, rest,
and play.
And play.
Yeah. Achieve, rest, and play.
You could do rest, achieve, and play, and then it's wrap.
Or you can rap.
Just remember to rap, everybody.
And you know, we could have talked more about like side hustles and like, you know, when a hobby moves to a side hustle or pursuing a side hustle. But I think the biggest takeaway should be this. It's okay to learn something for the sake of learning or to do something because it makes you happy and not because you have to monetize it or produce something or get fame from it or admiration. Like you can do something that is just for you. Mm-hmm.
So those are like external values, but a hobby offers an internal value, which is, at the end of the day, more important.
Yeah. And it's, you know, a great form of self-care. And mm-hmm. so, you know, just the way that 2020 has been and how I think I anticipate 21, 2021 beginning and maybe lasting for a while. I think it's something really important that we should all take some time to think about in terms of self-care and having a little fun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's conversation, and we're looking forward to hearing about what some of your hobbies and your hustles might be nowadays. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes,
until next time,
and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Let us know how you are taking life off autopilot.
And relentlessly pursuing what matters.